Hi, you're listening to Switch On, a podcast to shape the principles of modern leadership. We will be discussing the real experience with successful leaders and learn from them how are they tackling real-life, real-time challenges and build on their learnings for tomorrow's success. In this series, we'll focus on how we are bringing vision to life. Having a purpose, a vision alone, is not enough to be successful. Both require action. Without action, vision is nothing more than a dream. The key to success is to stay focused and be realistic about the current situation and then learn perfect along the way. But as soon as we identify it, we need to start living it. Welcome to this episode of Switch On. Do you ever feel like your urgent daily tasks are getting in the way of what's really important? Or have you delayed your decision for months or years and someone else overpassed you? You should not be putting your dreams off to the side. Regardless of how you see success, many of us spend most of our lives talking about what if. And it's not always about knowing the exact steps you need to take, but you must be clear on where you currently are, and more importantly, where you want to be. And then take the appropriate action with the right mindset to get you there. How to stay determined when everything around us is changing, and how should we start creating our future? As always, I'm in great company. Today, my guest is an experienced HR professional, having vast experience in the implementation of both operational and key strategic activities. People and culture enthusiast, eager to co-create a work environment that gets the best out of people by creating more effective balance between their professional and private lives. Katarina Primožić-Ramovac, People, Culture and Communications Officer at NIL. Great to have you with us, Katarina.
Hi, Helena. Thanks for inviting me. Happy to be with you.
Katarina, you're one of the people I know that are pushing the boundaries of what we know is possible. And you do that with great determination. It would be fantastic if you could kick us off by telling us what is driving you and what excites you the most.
I feel it's really important to have a clear vision of who you are, of who you want to be and where you want to come. And when that is clear, understanding that the universe always has your back, it's crucial. And staying present here and now makes it possible for you to actually achieve that vision.
It sounds like you're really passionate about moving things forward, building on what you know today, building on the knowledge and strengths. And we all find ourselves in a leadership role one day or another. And effective leadership is critical to a successful business, especially today when we have a feeling that the major burden of accepting change and making a difference starts with leadership. You feel it every day when HR is asked to make it happen. So let's start our discussion at the beginning. How do you see the future of work developing? Where, in what areas can we expect the main challenges linked to the new, younger generations joining the workforce?
That's a really interesting question and topic, and a broad topic. I believe that the last, let's say, 2 years now has shown that the new reality is a fact. As a result, new skills are needed in all areas. We share concrete experience and understanding that it is possible to work remotely and that we are able to digitalize our processes very quickly and that we can be effective in this new environment. And as a result, we can work for or with whatever employer is on the other side of the screen. And new ways of working, leadership, need to address key processes that ensure that they are completed in a fast-paced manner, ensure that the working environment is safe from all possible angles, for example, from information security aspect, workplace safety, infection risks, employee well-being, connectivity, in addition, supporting maximum flexibility for hybrid working. And this is basically the borders of duration due to the emerging talent market that we need to do, that we are facing. And these new ways of working that we are practicing and also considering for the future are being discussed in the HR community and worldwide. They include full-time home working, hybrid working, part-time working, flexible working arrangements such as job sharing, flexible working arrangements such as compressed working hours. So there are really, really different discussions regarding this. And new solutions for the way of working in the future have to be actively approached all the time, based on the dialogue with the employees, based on the data analysis. And to be able to do it, trust is of utmost importance. And this is not an easy task, especially when you're focused on supporting the business, when we're lacking the talent on the talent market that we need to invite to our teams. And this is also essential when talking about reorganizing the way we work. And these all things are really challenging, staying on the top of our games, increasing the profit, supporting the customers, addressing the workloads, the work-life balances, and also nurturing people we work with. And companies have a huge task, and the legislation here, of course, unfortunately, is not really helping at this moment. The younger generations, like the millennials and Generation Z, these younger generations want to work for companies that share their values for a purpose that is beyond profit and in which they feel more empowered to make a difference as a part of an organization. And companies must make a shift beyond the profits, for the talent market requires so, and for it is the right thing to do. And the tool to do it is really the right leadership. I talk here about people first leadership, for example.
Every leader is dealing with unreasonable amount of change, and HR is in a unique position to ensure that all these changes taking place are integrated so that the mission and the vision aren't derailed. This way, HR role is becoming the change champion in many organizations, if you want, evolving new ways of seeing the future while also working in the present. And there's really a lot on our plates, like you're mentioning, Katarina. What is your recipe for keeping focus high on what matters most? And how do we keep the focus on the right things when we are feeling overwhelmed with everything we need to do?
As I said at the very beginning, it is really, from my experience and how I see things, important that we stay present here and now, to have a clear focus on what is important constantly, that we are transparent about that, courageous to address that, and open-minded to answer questions from our colleagues that feel or are focused in the same manner. So stay present here and now.
Really an important message, because we are struggling, right? There are different challenges that we are facing daily, and sometimes we need the support and we need a role model as well. So present in the now really makes sense to what you were describing before. There's also a lot of talk about sustainability today, and we often forget that this doesn't just mean green. It touches on the component of how we do business as well, and how to earn the right to be successful and relevant in the future, how we add value. What is your take on sustainable business strategy?
This is a topic I am really passionate about. I wholeheartedly believe that it is an imperative that organizations, company, also take into consideration the overall impact of their business and have in mind the future of the organization. Investors, customers, and also candidates I mentioned in the talent market, and especially the younger generation, they're all more interested than ever in how a company is committed, not only, as you mentioned, the environmental aspect, but also to how the company supports and treats employees, how the company conducts business in an ethical and sustainable manner, and how is the company consistent with its higher purpose, its mission. So my feeling or my takeaway here is really important, the method of 4 P's: purpose, people, profit, and planet. And this model helps us to understand how we impact on different stakeholders while developing a vision for the future that aims to create added value for all those stakeholders. And I believe, as you also mentioned, that HR has the opportunity and also responsibility to coordinate the company's mission, meaning the purpose, which goes beyond profit, in a way that is connected and attractive to all employees. And in this way, HR can help give meaning to employees while really highlighting the positive impact of this organization and supporting the company's culture. So throughout the company's mission, vision, and values, the practice of sustainability approach helps to bring all the stakeholders into all aspects of business management and also overall operations throughout all the layers within the company.
Yeah, everything is interconnected. But I guess the important piece in it is also walking the talk and making mm-hmm. it happen. So what I mean by that is the integrity piece, right? If you believe in something, mm-hmm. that you're doing the right things, that this becomes a reality as well, and that you're striving, putting your efforts behind doing it the right way as well.
It's really interesting you mentioned walk the talk. Let me elaborate that. It's actually the program that we've implemented at our company when the COVID situation actually started. So why is this important, or why this program matters for us? We believe that trust is the most important element of actually feeling connected, and I believe it requires strong leadership and empathy. I mentioned already, I call it the people first leadership style. And the fact is that an effective and a successful leader is the one who creates a compassionate, supportive, and above all, trustworthy work environment where people feel really valued as people and can freely express their opinions, their concerns. Mm-hmm. This was important before the pandemic, and it's even more important going forward. And leaders need to be able to provide clear, consistent, and reliable information with a steady flow of communication. They need to stay open to feedback. They need to initiate it, and they need to be able to receive it. They need to be accountable to their teams about all over expectations, about the opportunities and more. And this is doing the talk. And this is something that's really important. And it's a hard thing because it's easier to say something than to do it. But it is, as I believe, of utmost importance.
Yeah, so true, especially today when we live in a hybrid world, and we have all learned that strong relationships got even stronger, and those that were weak actually disappeared. And the trust that you're mentioning in your colleagues, willingness for collaboration is really paramount, but it's not mm-hmm. easy to maintain the trust and people's engagement. Katerina, how do you nurture the trust with the people around you, with the people that matter?
I think the most important answer here is integrity, you already mentioned. And overall, I think that leaders who understand how important empathy is to their employees in these uncertain times, that can help leaders to focus on now instead of worrying about ensuring productivity and efficiency. I think this is really important. And this people first leadership style I mentioned requires empathy, requires emotional intelligence to address team members' personal needs and this need for human connection. It really requires the ability to create an inclusive environment While leading these hybrid teams, it requires transparency, openness to listen, a willingness to adapt, and to really be agile. And there are several new characteristics of this strong leadership that actually will determine what kind of future awaits us that actually has emerged right now. And how do we do it? I mentioned we are focusing on leadership using this program, Walk the Talk. We really focus on communication, trying to find different approaches within different teams because the focus is different. So one approach cannot fit everyone. And trust is something you earn, and we are aware of that. And this is an ongoing process that never ends. So it's something we need to have in our minds constantly. And it's really important to have that and to be aware of that, yes.
It's an awakening moment, I think, because going mm-hmm. back to the values that really matter, we are going back to trust, integrity, like you're mentioning. We are going back to empathy. Those were values that were not, let's say, in such a focus a couple of years ago. And they are becoming more and more important going forward, as you say. And as we are returning to the workplace, there are several challenges facing employers, remote working, changing priorities, a reactive ways of working have led to fracture in the strategic vision and values that would have historically glued people together. That is why employees need to reaffirm a clear sense of direction around which everyone can align and reconnect. The other day, you've mentioned you have started an in-house business club. Tell us more about this initiative and how are you dealing with this to drive performance?
Again, a really broad question. One of the training approaches in general we implemented is that we've developed this Neil Core kit that is focused on one aspect, continuous technical and digital skills building. But on the other hand, a range of soft skills that we feel are needed to equip us for the future and that will ensure our strategy and vision is delivered as planned. And we are constantly asking ourselves what skills are needed to support our vision and strategy. I think this is really important to stop and reflect. Mm-hmm. And as a result of all these questions, we've launched Master Talk, Neil Master Talk. We are focusing on practicing effective communication, self-leadership, practicing effective meetings, because there's an increase in the number of meetings we are conducting during this hybrid work. So we are also focused on public speaking and above all cross-departmental collaboration and connection. We've sort of succeeded in providing a dynamic, high-quality experimental program to develop these communication and leadership skills by creating this hands-on learning environment where we are really encouraging feedback, assessments in a supportive environment for all our people. I really believe it's crucial to support people in their efforts to develop more broadly, also personally, and the organization needs to provide and create the circumstances that they are able to do it. And as leaders, we share responsibility for the future, so we need to create those opportunities. So the method we used is really focused on this constant connection among different departments on an ongoing basis. And this is how we also try to ensure people stay connected above regular tasks and more based on their personal aspiration and personal growth, having a supportive environment to be able to do it.
Working on these initiatives, what has surprised you the most?
I think it's really important to actually give employees time to implement all the changes, time to reflect on how they feel, and time to actually decide on how to deal with these changes. And I think what has surprised me is the level of cooperation and how people are actually eager to participate and to tackle personal development. So they really took on the opportunity that we've created to improve or to support them on their mission, on their personal development. So I think that that surprised me the most.
So basically, you are stimulating collaboration cross department, as you've emphasized, and the teams, different teams are working together on the challenges that they are facing, but also looking forward. On the other hand, they have a lot of empowerment. But what about the structure? How do you see the role of structure in this environment? Why is structure important?
We as humans require it. This is how our brains are sort of developed, and they need structure. They need certain structure. But at the same time, we need the possibility to be free, to have the opportunity to be creative and spontaneous. So with our internal programs, we try to capture both.
Yeah. I think we better operate, right, if we have some sort of guidance or at least a frame that we remain maybe more focused on the impact that we want to deliver. Successful change managers respond to changes by seizing opportunities, including throwing out old models and developing new ways of doing business. They try to make the change contagious, systematic, embedding it into everything they do, from the most fundamental daily interactions to the most complex strategy. How do you approach this change in your company?
Yeah, I think this is a challenge that all companies are facing. We tried a lot of things. The first, for example, we tried agile organizational solutions, and that did not work for us. We shifted people managers. We implemented new roles. We tried to tackle new things, but found out we were not ready. So we needed to let them go. So the first requirement, I believe, to be able to tackle all these challenges is to be courageous, to take the step despite perhaps others do not see the need, to communicate directly about the impact, and to have the trust and support of the organization, which is also crucial. So courage, again, beyond the position that someone is actually responsible for or involved in.
Sometimes we don't think about that the past experiences are those that got us here, where we are, but those cannot really define our future. What we are in this very moment and what we believe we can become, this is what will define us. And sometimes when we look at what we are trying to achieve and the impact we want to create, we learn we are simply not ready. Katerina, how to strengthen the team capabilities, readiness, and better balance them with the desired impact you want to achieve?
Last year, for example, we were focused more on this e-learning approach. And I believe all the organizations were doing the same, or at least a lot of them. So the training was delivered remotely, let's say through digital platforms. We took an agile approach. We managed to help our colleagues to acquire, for example, over 100 new certifications with over, if I remember correctly, quite a lot of our course days. So, and the answer lies in the fact that we set this building competences and technical expertise as a really strategic focus and our common goal. And this required really close collaboration between different functions. And so strong collaboration was the first important point. We have this really great center of excellence on group level, namely Neil is a part of Danish group Concha. And our positive, let's say, experimental program was actually launched on group level, and we named it Concha Center of Excellence. And in order to continuously build and manage our corporate knowledge, this was really pushed throughout all the companies in the group and where this institutional knowledge is now stored. So in this way, knowledge can be easily transferred within the group. So people have access to what's important or really important topics on a click. So that is the second point. We also implemented this Friday transfer knowledge meetings, supporting connection between different virtual teams. And we organized using specific technologies to help collaborate, share knowledge, address our clients' biggest challenges. And these were also methods we introduced and they sort of stayed and are still in really well perceived among especially the technical teams. So the third point is we included them and they were co-creating, meaning the people, co-creating the way they were basically transferring the knowledge or gaining it. So the fourth point, as I mentioned earlier, we've developed this NEAL Core Kit focused on continuous technical and digital skills building and including a range of soft skill needed to really equip us all for the future. And to sum up all four points, so first, it's really important to collaborate between different departments to identify which are the needed skills. Secondly, we've supported the overall Consha Center of Excellence to store all institutional knowledge, which is really useful and people can access it at all times. Thirdly, Friday transfer knowledge meetings where people were actually collaborating and co-creating the ways they've transferred knowledge and upskilled themselves. And fourthly, this NEAL Core Kit, which is focused on soft skills also that are needed to equip us to ensure that we deliver what we've planned within our strategy.
It really sounds this internal readiness is really important to you guys. You have mm-hmm. created an ecosystem and you don't only talk about it. You have started living it and invited people to help you co-create it, to help shape what will be important and what is important going forward. And recently, you have also won the award for the best HR practice among mid and small size companies called Talent Lab. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us, how did you address the potential of younger generations? What was your ambition with this project and how did you make it work?
So as a part of the reaction actually to the coronavirus, but also in addition as a part of our regular talent review process within which we identify top potentials, we've developed this talent lab, which can be applied for whatever target focused group within the company. We've connected with Peri teams and used this lab to implement business reinvention labs. And the concept was not to recover the business, but to reinvent. So it was a sort of an invitation to our top potentials to think about reinventing our future. Mm-hmm. And with the companies that own people in their heart, I think this is really important. And this is how we also tackled our overall strategy, the network of knowledge that I've spoken earlier. The reinvention itself was a way of unleashing and also developing our top talents. Those were the younger generations from all over the world. And we took a journey through virtual team-based ideation with the Hack Lab, Design Thinking Lab, Agile Lab. The ideas that they've developed, they were pitched to senior leaders for strategic fit, value creation, and also positive impact. So not only did this prove that they can actually impact the future. So they've also been invited in the process and had the experience of how to actually tackle change, because they were sort of introduced with completely new methods that were not on the market before. And they actually had the opportunity to see how to impact the strategy. So it was really a chemical reaction that was a result of that inclusion, inspiration, reinvention. So we were really proud of it. And based on our experience, we are planning another talent lab, which will be actually focused on the future of work. So this is something that we will again tackle in the following months, but with a bit more diverse set of people, not only the top talents, but we will focus more on intergenerational cooperation.
Interesting. Yet when we talk about the change from the bottom up, how can a junior colleague help change the culture? How is the training ground for personal development you have created influencing the acquisition of new competencies?
I think it's, so younger generations, from my experience, they have a really strong voice. They understand their needs, they understand and they want a specific vision, and they understand that focus on that vision will be acquired and achieved by actually tackling their own personal development and skill trainings. So there I see the connection. So I think organizations have responsibility to make opportunities for that. Either they will make it, or those talents will do it on their own and they will leave the organization. So that is a fact from my perspective. And it is also important because of their really strong vision of the future and expectations. They need to be involved in the process of co-creating those programs because they know what they will need. So we need to have this transparent dialogue. And for example, within our company, we have this approach, we call it individual development plans. And people have the opportunity not only to tackle the technical aspect of their careers, but also this personal development that they feel is needed to be able to tackle the future.
You're raising a very valid point, creating a more inclusive environment. We used to say, treat the people how you want to be treated. However, now with greater attention to inclusivity, it seems we are moving towards treating the people how they want to be treated. And this requires us to pay attention to individuals, to pay more attention to our own lens, but also to the lenses of others. How are you experiencing this shift, this transition?
I believe this was a fact already in the past, but we were not that much, we did not put that much attention to it. I believe everyone is unique. I believe everyone is special and has his or her own something that he or she brings to the company and to the world. So I'm really happy that the world is awakening in that regard, and that also from professional point of view, companies are forced to take into consideration personalities, individual needs. And it's really connected to what I was saying earlier, to people first leadership, to empathy, to be able to hear what people are really saying. And this requires completely new roles of how do we support people. And I believe this is also the future of HR and new roles that will evolve. And this requires, of course, on the other hand, to think strategically, to not be overwhelmed with administrative operational processes that usually HRs are dealing with, but to really focus and support each and every individual. I know this is really easy to say, but really, really hard to do. And when you start discussing focus on people, of course, every single individual feels, okay, how am I actually experiencing this? And this is a really important process because there is a shift in how organizations were operating so far and how we feel they need to operate in the future. And this, let's say, time frame or era where we are at this moment is a shifting one in this regard. And it will be painful. It will require a lot of communication. It will require a lot of understanding and empathy. But it's a shift in a mindset where every single person counts. I feel it's an opportunity, but also it will bring a lot of pain because not everyone will be able to make this shift. Because when shifting to people first approach, not everyone feels that because of old ways of being focused only on profits. So it's an important step. And I feel the HR function has a huge responsibility in this regard, along with leadership, management, that needs to support the process as well.
Beautifully said, and such an important message. It's a shift in mindset when everybody counts. And this reminds me of ants. Ants are a terrific analogy for the route to success. They will go over, under, around, through whatever gets in their way. They never stop moving, and neither should we. We need to take the word impossible and turn it into possible. Katarina, you have mentioned that in your efforts, you are always staying true to yourself, true to what makes sense to you and to what brings value to the people around you. So for the conclusion, what should we as leaders consider a priority when rethinking growth potential? What should we keep on top of our list when we are shaping our future?
As I mentioned, we really need to stay present here and now, which is really, really hard because we are constantly shifting our minds and thoughts from what happened, what will happen, what are the risks, etc. But this staying present is of utmost importance. And when discussing developing leadership, the first step is self-leadership. I think it's really important to nurture our own growth mindset. And when we are given the opportunity to have the responsibility that has a broader impact, this is even more important. Self-leadership in terms of focus on growth mindset is key for successful future that involves all the people. But what does the growth mindset means from my perspective, giving the opportunity with open-ended questions for ourselves and people we work with. So stay present.
You are so right when you say change starts with us, and understanding individual needs and meeting these needs is critical for success. Ultimately, we are talking about the decision of whether we want to embrace the change or not. It's on us. The things we do and tell ourselves have a significant impact on our daily lives. If you choose to wallow in negative thoughts, it can impact your self-esteem. And similarly, if you choose to let go of the past and start anew, you can transform your life. If you believe you can and will do something, you will find out the means to make it happen. Thanks so much, Katarina, for joining us today. I appreciate your insights, your candor, your thoughts about how things are shaping up and what we need to consider when we are rethinking our growth potential.
Thanks, Helena, for inviting me. It was really a pleasure discussing these topics with you.
Thank you, Katarina. I look forward to seeing you soon. This podcast is brought to you by Drop of Milk, an impact-driven business consultancy and expert on customer-focused digital transformation. You can learn more at dropofmilk.com.